This is Insight on Business, the News Hour for Monday, September 23. My name is Michael Libby, and thank you for being here. Each day, Monday through Friday, we bring you the business news of the Des Moines Metro, along with interviews with newsmakers and business leaders and owners to help you and your business stay on top of the issues important to each of us and offer some business tips and suggestions. On the News Hour today, we're going to learn the backstory of the Iowa Cubs and the new Iowa Wild with Mark Pierce. He's the stadium announcer, has just been signed by the Wild, and we'll also visit with Steve Casper about wrestling and the recent decision regarding the Olympic Committee. Kind of feels like a sports afternoon. Then next half hour, we're going to welcome small business owner Tim Clark to the studio. Tim owns the Amish House in Urbandale. We'll find out what trials and tribulations he goes through being a small business owner and have a discussion on trends, style, and customer service. Tim Clark, next half hour. We'll be back with the top business stories of the day, right after the weather and traffic. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, the Fireplace Superstore of Urbandale, and Remax Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro.
It's now 15 minutes past the top of the hour. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. Welcome back. If your business has a story for us, send it our way. You can find us by email. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. And we do monitor Twitter before, during, and after the broadcast. And that stream is iob_newshour. That's iob_newshour. Mark Pierce is the voice of the Iowa Cubs within the stadium at Principal Park, and he's just signed on to become the arena voice for the new AHL club here in Des Moines called the Iowa Wild. Welcome to the News Hour, Mark.
Well, thank you very much. So glad to be here.
This is a place you've frequented
from time to time. I've been here for a few years, actually, and not so much on air, but in the business side and in sales. I was the general sales manager here for almost 3 years.
You figured out that it's the money's in the sales end and not so much necessarily behind the microphone. I got it. Were you also on air?
I started out my career on air, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I worked here weekends and overnights as Mark Shannon on Q102 and then came back 5 years later as the general sales manager. So that was kind of fun.
That was a big ticket.
There's still
change.
A couple people here that were there then, and they're still now.
Well, that's one of the things about the Des Moines Radio Group. People tend to stay around for a while.
Absolutely, yeah. Mr. Christian's great guy. Ed does a great job and runs a quality shop.
Yeah,
and
he runs a lot of quality shops all over the country with Sega Communications. This is going to be fun. How did you come to become the stadium voice of the Iowa Cubs?
I think that's a great story. I've worked in advertising sales with Larry Morgan,
sure.
The voice, the man, the myth, the legend. And yeah. Larry said, I've been doing voiceover work for years. I started at a small 1,000-watt radio station in Boone, Iowa, and then worked my way to Des Moines and got into sales, but still did voiceover work.
Sure.
And Larry said, hey, they're going to need somebody to fill in 3-4 games this season. How would you like to do that? And I loved baseball, and I said, sure, I would do that. And as luck would have it, being at the right place at the right time, the gentleman that was doing the majority of the games moved. I got a promotion and moved, and I got a chance to do a lot more games. So
as the voice, the stadium voice of a baseball team like the Iowa Cubs, what's the backstory of that? How much preparation is there prior to each game, or do you just slaughter in and sit down and say, "Hey, it's a line drive shot off to left field"?
That's a great question. As a PA announcer, mainly we're interested in making sure that we get the names pronounced right. And
how's your Spanish, by the way?
Absolutely perfect, muy bueno. But you know, it's one thing you want to avoid is especially one of the visiting players looking back if you really butchered their name. But so there's preparation, especially at the beginning of the homestand, as you're as you know, the first game, you want to make sure you get to know the names. And then as the season goes on and as it goes further in the homestand, you've already got the pronunciation down, sure. And that type of thing. So then it's mainly, you know, what kind of promotions they've got going on and whatnot, and just kind of keeping things lighthearted and having some fun with the fans. I know the fans know when I'm there doing the PA that I'm enjoying myself, you know, and if I'm having fun,
that's right.
Hopefully they're having fun. And it's really an event as much as it is a sporting event.
Mark Pierce, ladies and gentlemen, he's with us talking about being the stadium voice for the Iowa Cubs. We're going to switch to hockey. This is going to be really different because hockey moves at such a fast pace.
Absolutely.
Have you ever done hockey before?
Yes, I did hockey and have done hockey, and it's a little different than play-by-play. It's a little easier than play-by-play. Basically, again, getting to know the names and with the Eastern Europeans and some of the Swedes and, you know, the different names are going to be difficult, but the main difference is between baseball and hockey is, you know, just bringing that same excitement level, and again, not being having to do the play-by-play, but again, right, being able to equate the enthusiasm and the excitement of a goal being scored. You know, is it a hat trick? How many goals has this person had this year? And just kind of making it my own as far as putting that in. And we are a little bit more with the, you know, being first year for the Iowa Wild. They want to make sure that it's the very best product, the very first time that people come in October 12th, which is opening 7 o'clock. Yeah. And, you know, that's the other thing that Michael Jordan always said, and I've been doing this for a long time. Michael Jordan impacted me by saying, you know, I'm always at my best. I play my very best because that might be the very first time someone sees me, and he wanted to have the very best product out on the floor and give his very best effort.
You got to bring the A game. You got to bring the A game every single time. You know, Joe McDowell is the radio voice for the Iowa Wild. Mm-hmm. Great guy.
Yeah.
And he made move from Houston.
Came up.
To come up to Des Moines.
Brilliant young man. I met him at the
great
presser.
Guy. Yeah, he's a great guy. But you're a local here, so can we expect some local flavor in the arena this year with the Iowa Wild?
You know, there's going to be a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of, you know, we worked a lot about how we wanted to say it, how we wanted to get people pumped up. You know, the entertainment value is going to be there. It, again, just like the Iowa Cubs, it's going to be an event where people can come, enjoy with families. You know, we have some Sunday afternoon games, Sunday early evening games. It is a family product. And again, it's more than a sporting event. It's an event. And I think people are going to really embrace this. And the ownership being the Minnesota Wild, we haven't had that where the parent company had owned this AHL franchise. And I can definitely see a difference in how they you know, really get excited about what they're doing. They're very passionate people.
I think our second week of broadcasting here, we had Todd Fredrickson in, the president for the Wild.
Absolutely.
And what a great guy, you know. He's anxious to see. But there are so many things that the Wild has had to do to ramp up this quickly. I mean, the announcement was what? Just this spring.
Yes.
And, you know, bang, some of the members of the team aren't even here yet.
Yeah.
And so this is
it's amazing what they've been able to do in such a short period of time. And a lot of the players, matter of fact, I got a text from my youngest brother, who's a season ticket holder of the Minnesota Wild. He was at a preseason game up in St. Paul and texted me saying, hey, I'm seeing so-and-so. He's naming players that most likely are going to be down here in Iowa, and it's going to be an excellent product. You love hockey, you're going to love this brand of hockey. That's for sure.
All right, Steve. Steve, thanks so very much for making some time and coming in here. I know our producer, Peter Tarpe, put the hammer on you and said, hey, come on in here and say, we had, ladies and gentlemen, we had another guest lined up and who called and canceled at the last minute. So Steve was kind enough to come in, and Mark was kind enough to come in. We're going to be talking with Steve Casper here in just a little bit about wrestling. Why not? But we really appreciate you making the time.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, and again, just very excited. And I'm glad that you're a big hockey fan.
You betcha. Hey, I grew up in Detroit, you know. Red Wing City, man. You know, come on.
You're not from the state of hockey, but you're close, right?
I'm from the city of hockey, where Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, played, of course.
Absolutely.
And he also played in Houston
with his sons.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
23 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. When we come back, we're going to be talking about takedown wrestling with Scott Casper. Hold on, kids. We're going to start pounding the mat. And then, after Steve, we're going to be talking with the folks from the Wall Street Journal, with the Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, and the report from agriculture. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Support for Insight on Business, the NewsHour, comes from Mr. B Clothing of Clive, the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola, and West Bank.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is now 25 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock on this, the 23rd day of September 2013. My name is Michael Libby, and this is Insight on Business. Scott Casber is going to be joining us by telephone. He is the voice of the Iowa Energy and the Iowa Barnstormers. And Scott, welcome to the NewsHour. You and I know each other, but you probably just can't put the face with the voice or something like that. Thank you. Hey, thanks, Scott. You also, if this voice sounds familiar to you, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear Scott do a number of voice work radio ads here in the Des Moines market. Hey, I take down wrestling. What? Tell me about that.
To pay Dan Gable back for making college available to me, and I was the first one in my family and Gable that made it possible for me to have a home away from home, so to speak, in Iowa City. He and all his friends made it affordable and kept me interested, and wrestling was something I had to figure out a way to pay it back. And the promoter that I am, I figured that, you know, this is the best way I know how to do it. So wrestling on radio became a format for us, became the first of its kind in the country, still is some 16 years later. And we've turned it into from a radio show, only a two-hour weekly radio show in 52 countries, to a television show that's seen on 54 million homes. We've become the voice of the Big Ten, the NCAAs, the National Duels, the All-Star Classic. We're the first guy to interview the champions on the championship night of the NCAAs. It's really become something more, you know, but it's a way for us to stay connected to a sport that's very real, to be involved. The Olympic vote was something that we were very intimate with. And
that's a question I've got for you. Sure. Scott Casber, ladies and gentlemen, from Wrestling Takedown, also the voice of the Iowa Energy and the Barnstormers. This Olympic committee and the wrestling, what was all this about? Wrestling was part of the ancient games, and they wanted to do away with it. Was that the strangest thing to you?
Well, you know, Michael, it really was our fault, the fault of the sport of wrestling and the people in it. We were led, and happily so, seemingly, down the wrong path by the wrong people. We were arrogant in our position, believing that 3,000 years of history was enough, but that we wouldn't need to present our sport in such a way that, as any business would, to present it. Like, this is our modern sport. This is how we affect today's youth. This is why we're relevant. For 7 years, we thumbed our nose at the IOC and Jacques Rogge, and given the opportunity to participate, like all the other sports, we said we don't really need to do that.
So it was our fault for not marketing ourselves.
Yeah, it was arrogance. It was plain and simple. It was arrogance on behalf of the sport and its uber leadership. And now that they are gone and we have the right people in place, the IOC believes that we've corrected our mistakes and has given us, you know, the next 8 to 16 years to truly effect that change. We put more women in place. We've given them a greater say on the world stage and greater opportunity to compete. So we're really a sport for all people now, and around the world, 172 countries, can't be totally wrong.
Exactly. You know, I have to admit to you, Scott, I don't understand wrestling, especially the scoring system. I can tell you what 30 love means in tennis, but I don't have a clue to how this works in wrestling. Is it difficult?
It's actually more simple today because of the changes that were implemented between February 12th and today. To keep score than it was prior to February. And they were right. We had to simplify it. We had to make it easier for the average fan to stay in touch with why we're scoring and how the score, you know, we resulted in a score. Now it's, you know, very simple. 2 points for a takedown, 1 point for escape. It's very much like college wrestling.
Yeah.
So if we keep it simple and continue to educate our fan base, it will improve. It will get bigger. We've added 100-plus college programs, both men's and women's, in the last 9 years. We're doing something right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to admit, I'm not an Iowa native, and I come out of the Motor City in Detroit, so I get hockey. But Iowa is such a wrestling haven. Why is that?
You know, wrestling is such a very basic sport. We do it from the time, well, actually before we get out of the womb. We're wrestling our way out of the womb.
That's right.
And we wrestle ourselves to keep ourselves out of the grave. We're always wrestling, and for us to lose sight of a very basic nature, sometimes I think we sell ourselves short, but we are constantly wrestling with something in our lives, physically as kids, mentally, emotionally as we get older. And again, we wrestle with the idea of dying at the end. So we're constantly wrestling. And if we embrace that idea and the ideals that the sport represents, I think we're better for it. The state of Iowa is a fine example of the best of the sport. Ohio has great wrestling, sure. Pennsylvania, Virginia, et cetera. But you look at the rest of the country, man, I tell you what, it's catching up quick. It's an amazing time to be a part of one of the greatest sports I've ever seen.
Scott Casper, ladies and gentlemen, Takedown Wrestling. Thanks so very much for coming on with us. You know, it was so odd. Today we had Mark Pierce in studio. And you know Mark.
Mark's a great friend.
Yeah, and he's going to be the voice of the arena voice for the Iowa Wild. And I believe you were the arena voice for the Iowa Stars, weren't you?
The Stars and the Chops.
Yeah.
The Iowa Barnstormers, Iowa Energy, Iowa Cubs, Menace.
So you got a seat there, man.
Oh, yeah. I've done. I tell you what, I have had so much fun working for pro sports in this market. Yeah. I don't know what other market I could have ever done what I've done and had so much fun doing it. I work for some of the best people in sport, and it's the fans of these teams that I truly work for. And if you think for a minute that I forget that, man, I tell you what, these are the best people, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, you got to bring your A game every day.
Mark said earlier, he said it's an event.
Absolutely.
And you have to treat it that way because they're paying hard-earned dollars to come through that door to see what's on the court, what's on the field, what's on the ice. And the more Mark and I take that as a personal responsibility, the better the product is.
Yep, absolutely. Scott, thanks so very much for carving out some time to talk to us a little bit about the sport of wrestling and the business that goes on, the backstory, if you will, about the Olympic Committee and their decision, and now wrestling is back, and also about this work that you do all over the arenas here in Central Iowa for
Michael,
so many Des Moines teams.
Always good to talk to you, Michael. My best to Pete Tarpey and everybody down at T.
Hey, thanks so very much.
God bless.
Scott Casper, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Casper is just a fine guy, and I've had the pleasure of knowing him for some time. We aren't close bosom buddies or anything like that, but it's always a pleasure to visit with Scott and get his take on so many different things. So our thanks once again to Mark Pierce, who came in. He's the stadium announcer for the Iowa Wild. They kick off, they drop the puck, I should say, on the 12th day of October, and he's also kind of on a layoff now because the Iowa Cubs are done, so he'll go back to the arena or the stadium next season. We've got now 5:33. We've got 27 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to check out the Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, and then some news from agriculture. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We've got 19 minutes now before the top of the hour on this, the 23rd day of September 2013, Insight on Business, the News Hour. My name is Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter before, during, or after the broadcast. That is IOB_NewsHour, IOB_NewsHour. And if you've got a story for us, go ahead and send it along in an email. We can do that. It is IOB Newsroom. That's IOB Newsroom. @gmail.com. Our guest is Tim Clark, owner of the Amish House. It's a furniture store over on 100th Street in Urbandale. We're going to be talking business, fashion, customer service, much more. Welcome to the News Hour, Tim. Glad you're here.
Thanks, Michael. It's good to be here.
Good to see you again. It's been a couple of years.
Yes.
You've been busy, I suspect.
Yeah, lots of new things going on.
How long have you been in business over at the Amish House?
Amish House has been around for 17 years.
And you...
took ownership 5 years ago.
Right. And how, boy, there's been a lot of changes. What a time for you to take ownership of a small business in a metro area. You know, the good news, bad news about that is good news is this is a booming metropolitan area, thank God. But the bad news was you had to weather through the recession at the same time.
Yeah, in 2008 when I purchased the business, things were about
bottoming out. By 2009, the furniture industry was as low as it's ever going to get.
And so you were just, you kind of were hanging on, right?
But it sounds right that we're in the right place at the right
time. Well, you know, I think one of the trends, and we're going to be talking about trends and some other things, I think that are very important for any business to understand. And if you happen to be listening to this broadcast or you know somebody that has a business, I think you're going to find some real truths here, because this is why we do this show, is we share with you the insights of other business owners and people that are into this space so that maybe you can learn something. You can pick up a tip, see what's going on. And one of the trends I wanted to talk about with Tim is that this whole idea of locally made or USA made products has really gained steam here in the United States. Why is that?
General economy, for one, loss of jobs. Imports have dominated the furniture industry back in pre-2007 period. So we're starting to find a lot more pride in made in USA, which is part of what Amish House is about.
Yeah, and I would suspect that, you know, we're seeing that. As a matter of fact, our clients, we have an advertising agency, and our clients who are all over the country are really pounding home this whole idea that, that it's made here in the United States, it's made by factory workers in the United States, or it's dog food made in the United States, or it's whatever it happens to be. Very important, and I think a lot of people are paying much more attention to that because they realize that when they're doing business here locally, when they're doing business with an American company, it helps all of us rather than shipping those jobs and those funds overseas, which brings us to point two. The opportunity not only to buy American-made, but also shop from a locally owned store. I mean, shopping local is huge. Look what happens downtown. Every Saturday, there's the farmers market. 20, 22,000 people come downtown because they want to know who they're buying their vegetables from, that it's a locally grown product. Same, I would suspect, in your business in furniture.
Yeah, living and working in the community, you start to have a better understanding of what your customer wants and their needs. Not only are we trying to do the made in USA, we're also trying to do Midwestern. And when available here in Iowa, we're actually working with some local artists for custom lighting fixtures that are in the store, as well as pottery from the Midwest. Two things happen. It becomes more environmentally green because there's less shipping. As well as less cost in handling.
Yeah, and well, and not only that, but having doing business with somebody locally, you know, you're the guy. Seriously, Tim, you're the guy. And if I've got an issue, I go to the guy. And I don't have to go through somebody else in some other place and try to figure all this out. And I think that that is another hugely important part of the consumer attitude today, that they're really wanting to talk to the guy, to the person that, that actually runs the show. And with a locally owned small business versus a big box store, that's exactly what you got. Now, I want to ask you something else about consumers. How have they changed over the years that you've been in this at the Amish House?
Well, obviously, with the economy, they've been more price conscious. You're seeing more competition in the marketplace online, but we're seeing a trend as well where people want to do business person to person versus hoping that picture online looks like it does when it gets in the door. So that's definitely one.
That's exactly right. I know so many people who are in the florist business, in the flower business, and what may show up on the photograph from FTD isn't necessarily always what arrives when you go to get the flowers. And so it's the same thing with anything. I mean, if you can actually go see, touch, smell, and kick the product, it certainly does help. I happen to know Tim Clark, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. He is the owner of the Amish House, 100th Street in Urbandale. We're talking small business stuff here today. I happen to know that you do a lot of your own marketing.
Yes.
You do a lot of that stuff. What works for the Amish House and what hasn't? And let's talk with what works first.
What really works is having a satisfied customer to begin with.
Because they'll tell people.
From the trained sales staff that's able to help you pick the right furniture to begin with and ease concerns, all the way through to the delivery staff that shows up on time and actually positions the furniture in the home where you want it. So that's one of the areas that's strength.
Sure. And when you do marketing, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. There's traditional marketing, there's print, there's radio, there's television. I suspect you've tried all those things. There's direct mail. There is all the social media tools that are out there and available. What's been your strong suit as far as marketing?
I would say that social media is starting to come into its own. I like to tell our customers that our builders are old order Amish, but we're not, so we can use website, Facebook, as well as emails. So
absolutely. You've done some expanding and remodeling. Yeah, boy, I tell you what, I travel by there often because we office in the same location, as a matter of fact. And so I get to travel by your store often, and you've remodeled and you've expanded the showroom. You got new stuff going on. What's up with the new store?
Well, part of it came about with the idea that the Amish have expanded the styles that they offer.
Well, they had
to. We have great designs. A lot of people think of Amish house as a mission-style furniture, right, where we've gotten into anywhere from contemporary that work down here in downtown lofts out to more traditional settings as well. So,
and I think that's another thing that was you're picking them up all the questions in advance, Tim. It's no fair. One of the things, could you say that the Amish house had been relatively traditional with regard to design, and those things have now started to alter because consumers are demanding some different products?
Yes, Michael. The typical sale 10 years ago was red oak, very traditional.
Sure.
The great news is we can still do that, but to expand, they've built in 7 different woods. You pick your finish. It's more about a personal service, not just with the designers helping you, but also that the product can be the size you need for your home. So it's personalized.
What sets this type of craftsmanship apart from something else?
I would say it's more the hands-on.
Yeah.
It's not a manufactured piece. We get the opportunity to visit the old order Amish shops, and there's always a human element to every piece, whether it's the gal that's checking the finish to see if it's smooth by hand, or another builder coming up with a new technique to improve on.
Yeah, I think that's something, you know, in the agricultural business, our firm does some work in the agricultural business, and with TMRs, they're feed mixers for cattle. And they happen to be, they're made near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I went to visit them. Actually, it's Denver, Pennsylvania, where these are made at. And I'll never forget, I asked the owner of the company, it's all Amish guys, you know, and I said, so how many of these TMRs do you make in a week? He says, we make 7. I said, do you? I said, what happens if you get an order for 8? We make 7. You know, and they'll play catch up. But there is a real pride of workmanship in that community. Our guest has been Tim Clark, ladies and gentlemen. He's the owner of the Amish House. Before I cut you loose, there's some other things going, pottery and decorative items. What's going on there?
In keeping with the Made in the U.S. theme, we've been fortunate enough to have a few local artists as well as some here in the Midwest that bring in accessories, lamps, and that type of thing. So if you haven't been in recently, you definitely are going to be surprised with some of the items we carry. We're going to start bringing in even more here closer to the holidays besides the furniture.
But big quarter, isn't it? Fourth quarter. This is big for you, isn't it?
We're pretty stable throughout the year. It changes a little bit with emphasis, a little bit more of the gift ideas pre-Christmas. But there's also people thinking about getting the right dining room table for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, so they can accommodate everybody. So
go see Tim, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Clark, thank you so very much for coming in and spending some time with us talking about your concerns in small business world. Thank God that the economy has turned around and things are going better for you. But I can't imagine, Tim, having a worse time to get into business than what it was in 2007, 2008, because that was pretty shaky times for all of us all across the country. Tim Clark, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Amish House. You can find them over on 100th Street in Urbandale. Fine crafted products. Just in time for the Thanksgiving season. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. We'll be back with more when we come back. This is Insight on Business. Thanks so very much for coming in to Insight on Business, the News Hour. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, with the business and economic stories of the Des Moines Metro. If you've got one, send it our way, would you please? It's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, that's pretty doggone easy. It's IOB_NewsHour. That's IOB_NewsHour. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, have a good evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, be good to your fellow man. Good night.